Welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin and I'm joined by my very own Midnight Express, Boom Basket, Nick Davey, and Bodacious.
I think I've heard this one before.
Have I done this one before?
I think so. Oh. So we have to start again. good evening.
And Bodacious Oliver Newman.
I like that nickname. I think it will stick.
Have I done that one before?
No.
Oh, okay. How you doing this evening, lads?
Come on, Nick.
My dry January attempt lasted, if we exclude New Year's Day when I drank, it didn't last very long, so nothing's really changed with me.
No. Fair enough. And much like yourself, Chris, I've been up at stupid o'clock in the morning. I'm running on fumes, so, yeah. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, I had a meeting in Birmingham today. So let's get up at 5:15.
I was in Birmingham on Saturday.
And I was writing for my third book. So, you know, it's all good.
Right, so huge thanks to everyone who's been listening to our recent interviews. Congo Kong, David Fuller, Sugar Dunkerton. They've all got over 500 listens, and that's brilliant. Our interview of Congo Kong is actually our new record holder. It's had over 900 listens, so it's our record holder for an interview. So.
Fantastic stuff.
And we've got plenty of interviews lined up in February, the end of this month, so keep look out for that.
Rip time.
Whenever Nick gets around to interviewing Rip time.
Yeah.
So then,
the Sugar Dunkerton interview was really well done, Chris. Probably the best one any of us has done so far.
Yeah.
And then to see him on his Twitter and stuff, I think he's debuted in Impact Wrestling. So
he's done two Explosion, the second show.
Oh, okay.
He's appeared twice on that.
It's amazing that, you know, somebody who people might not have been aware of beforehand. He was very positive with the interview, and it was a really great listen. I really enjoyed listening to it.
I can't wait to meet him at Wrestle Island on the 11th of February.
Wicked.
Right, so today's going to be a very fun show. We're going to be giving our 2018 predictions for WWE, NXT, the rest of the world of wrestling, and then we've also picked a title each, and we're going to book it throughout 2018. So we'll start with our main roster predictions. Who wants to go first?
Go on, Nick.
Okay. Well, I've been thrown under the bus here. I just deleted my own notes.
Yeah, sure.
Got the back. Panic over, because that took me 25 minutes out of my lunch break today. What do we to do first?
Your first WWE prediction.
Oh, I didn't do that. Okay, I've got my first WWE prediction will be simply The Miz will be either Universal or WWE Champion by the conclusion of 2019. So he might have held it and dropped it, but
yeah.
He would have held it at some point within this year.
Yeah, I've also got that as one of my predictions.
My second one, Kurt Angle won't be the general manager by the end of the year as well. Not saying he'll be an active wrestler on the roster. I just don't think he'll be the GM by the conclusion of the year. And I'm not ruling him out potentially maybe becoming the SmackDown GM. I just don't think he'll be Raw GM by the end of the year. By the end of 2019.
Do you think he might have a loser leave town match with Jason Jordan eventually? It seems that's the way they're going.
I don't know. I'm still reckoning he'll have a match with Triple H at WrestleMania. Because I think they're slowly heading to they're heading to a direction soon, I suspect, with Steph coming back to overall, a bit like what sort of happened after the Royal Rumble last year with Foley. But I think obviously as Angle can wrestle, still Foley can't. Obviously Foley can really fight back, and Foley kind of had Steph sort of coming out to help him. I think he'll just be Angle fine on his own with Triple H, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm with
that's just my prediction. I could be wrong, because obviously we've still got Strowman, obviously as Lou said, with Strowman tied up with Triple H from the fallout from Survivor Series, so there's still a lot to, I suspect over the next sort of few weeks is where WrestleMania gets a bit more of a, where you sort of, begins to take more shape, doesn't it, after the Royal Rumble, especially the big brawl that's coming up next week as well. So I think we'll have more of a clearer understanding of where that's headed in a couple of weeks' time. But simply with the Miz, I think for the last since the brand split, he's just been insane. I've always been a big fan of Miz, but I think he deserves another crack at the big one, because I think he's proven that he's made, you know, he says it in his promos, but he's made the mid-card almost relevant again. He's become a major mid-card star. I think it almost gives hope to everyone who does drop out of the main roster, who can go to mid-card to almost build themselves back up again. I think he's been excellent, and I think he deserves another crack at one of the big belts, be it on Raw or SmackDown, depending on if they do another shake-up or not.
Yeah, I could see him going to SmackDown when it's kind of the land of the giants, Raw. So it would make sense for him to maybe go and become WWE champion.
Okay, there's not really an awful lot of heels in SmackDown as well.
But if he moves to SmackDown, he's holding the main title, isn't he? Because obviously the Universal title was made to counteract SmackDown's WWE title.
I think that's what we as fans want to believe. I think WWE wants us to believe that they're both absolutely similar, both the same. Yeah. And I think, to be fair, I think that's why they've had big names holding the Universal belt since it started, really, with Reigns, Lesnar. Has Reigns held it?
No.
He hasn't, has he? No, it'll be...
I don't think so.
Balor, Owens...
Goldberg, held
it after...
And Brock.
Oh, it was Owens, wasn't it? After Balor,
yeah.
Goldberg.
Yeah, Brock, wasn't it, at Mania.
We all know that WWE, whatever title is the main title on Raw, is the main title, no matter what.
That's it.
Anybody they try and put over. Even back in the day when they had the world title on Raw, but the WWE title on SmackDown, they still, Triple H had the world title, and we thought, that's the main title.
Big one, yeah.
Which is ironic, because that used to be the WCW title.
Yeah. So, Oliver, what are your predictions for this year?
The two WWE predictions, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe both hold the WWE title.
Mm.
Because I think there'll be another draft, and I think Joe needs to move to SmackDown Live in order to get that first WWE title under his belt. And obviously, with Sami Zayn, I'm truly shocked that they changed his character. Not that he's, you know, the new character, the villain side of him's bad in any way, but they had a Ricky Steamboat kind of character with Zayn, and you know, for me, like a Paul London kind of thing, in terms of he could get sympathy from the crowd, and you really felt everything that he felt. Like if you go back to NXT TakeOver, Art Evolution, I think it was the December TakeOver from a couple of years ago, the match with Neville and the crowd reaction. I can't believe they didn't capitalise on Zayn as a hero, but as a villain in 2018, he's going to be WWE champion.
Do you think they could go with the WWE champion with Owens route? That's what they said they're going to do if he wins at Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's a fair point, but. You know, when we come back to the booking of my 2018 WWE Championship run, then you'll understand my thoughts and my feelings behind those two individuals holding the title.
Okay. So mine are, I reckon Enzo and Cass will reform as a heel tag team. I don't know what they're going to do with Cass when he comes back, so they could either just have him as muscle on 205 Live, get him to beat up the So Train, and then just become the muscle for a while, and then transition back into it, because they broke them up far too early in my eyes. They should have been world title championships a couple of times, tag team champions a couple of times before even considering breaking them up.
Fair point.
And then my second is Woken Matt Hardy is going to get a couple of network specials, similar to his TNA deletion shows. And we're going to have Vanguard back, and King Maxwell back, and Ribby's going to be back, and Senior Benjamin's going to be back, and I don't know if we're going to have Inchweed and Willow and all that with Jeff Hardy, but I'd love
that. That's a show on WWE Network you'd watch, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that tag team Armageddon thing I can't remember what it's called, Tag Team Employees or whatever it was. They just had random tag teams from all over the world come in.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. The first, yeah.
The first one with Matt and Jeff, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. That was unbelievable.
I'm so surprised they haven't done something with Bray Wyatt, done something similar.
Well, he's come out on, I think, Twitter and said that it is 100%, no, he's come out in an interview, sorry, and said it is going to happen 100% this year. Some kind of final deletion thing. So,
that'd be amazing.
Watch your space.
I don't know if they'll get the little baby involved. I don't know. He's only about 6 months old, isn't he? But King Maxwell has a pinfall victory over Rockstar Spud on the last one. So.
Oh, wow.
Yo, everybody in the UK, it's your boy, Shook D. I'm coming at you live in living color, surround sound, letting you know that there hasn't been this much mayhem since the Boston Tea Party. And I'm just letting you know that you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Title booking time. So, Oliver, as you said, you're booking a WWE title, so take it away.
Okay.
The floor is yours.
Thanks, Nick. I've been waiting all my life for this moment. Okay, so the Rumble's already booked. So it's Zayn and Owens versus Styles. Okay, so from here, Zayn and Owens have some kind of miscommunication. Styles retains. And then we go to Fastlane, and it's a triple threat match between Zayn, Owens, and Styles. I think that Zayn and Owens come to blows. Zayn is... both of them are obviously villains. Zayn is the villain. They begin to turn Owens into a hero. Styles retains the title. It's Nick's dream match at WrestleMania as Shinsuke Nakamura, who wins the Royal Rumble, takes on AJ Styles. Thanks for that, Nick. And I think with this match, it's a spirited, like, strong style / American style match, which goes between 20 and 30 minutes. They steal the show. Nick's got a big grin on his face from start to finish. I think Styles just retains to end the pay-per-view. Then we go to Payback, and I've got Nakamura against Styles again. This time, I'm not sure. This might have some kind of stipulation to it, but I wasn't sure what to go with. Maybe like a 2 out of 3 falls or something, because Nakamura's beat AJ on SmackDown Live. Nakamura wins this time, and AJ starts becoming more villainous, kind of thing. So Nakamura wins the title, Payback. Money in the Bank. Sami Zayn wins Money in the Bank. And then we have Styles versus Nakamura 3. And Nakamura retains the WWE title in a... I don't know, something like an Iron Man match or something like that. There's a draft, which the main move for me is Samoa Joe of Raw for Randy Orton from SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
As we go into SummerSlam, Joe, because he's number one draft pick, gets a title shot against Nakamura. He just loses out in the SummerSlam match. But shows a really vicious side to, you know, the side that he's been showing. And then he gets another shot at the title, Hell in a Cell. It's Nakamura against Joe. Joe wins this time, but because of blood being shed and a long and strong battle for 20 or 30 minutes, and both wrestlers being knackered, Zayn cashes in his Money in the Bank contract and becomes the new WWE champion. Going forward to Survivor Series, Joe gets his rematch against Zayn.
Yeah.
Zayn wins by cheating, and then to finish the year, Clash of Champions, the men that have basically been holding down SmackDown Live for the longest time, Nakamura, Joe, Styles, and Zayn have a fatal four-way elimination match. And Zayn wins the match with just beating Nakamura, and Sami Zayn ends 2018 as your SmackDown Live WWE champion.
Very good.
Thank you.
Any comments, Nick?
I think it's very good. I think you booked it very well after WrestleMania, and so I got a bit lost straight away, actually. So to clarify, the Owen Zayn situation, I know it's a bit irrelevant, but so do they split up completely after the Fastlane saga? Do they have a match to WrestleMania then too?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I had to go into that kind of detail, but yeah, Zayn Owens come to blows, then it's the match that everyone's been waiting for, Zayn versus Owens at WrestleMania. Zayn wins that match during the draft as well, but this was for a little bit later on. Owens moves to Raw.
Mm.
So those two can feud all the way to, say, Money in the Bank, for example. But the draft is probably going to be in June time. So one of the other moves is for Kevin Owens to move to Raw to get away from Sami Zayn on SmackDown Live.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the only question I really had about that. Really, really good book.
No, appreciate the question.
It's a shame David and we won't book it as well as that.
Thank you.
Right, so should we move on to our NXT predictions? Oliver, do you want to go first this time?
Yeah, can do. Johnny Gargano and Aleister Black. So this is one and one. I'm going to become the NXT champion before the end of by 2019.
Hmm.
That's my two. I think if you want me to, do you want me to go into more detail or say what it is?
Yeah, as much detail as you like.
Okay, right. So Gargano is obviously he's going to feud with Ciampa. So at NXT TakeOver Philly, Tommaso Ciampa is going to cost him the title. And then once again at the New Orleans special, NXT's TakeOver special, sorry, which Nick's going to get to see live, Gargano is going to go up against Ciampa, probably letting the heat of the moment get to him. So some kind of disqualification. And basically, they'll build that up throughout the year whilst Aleister Black becomes the NXT champion. Once again, probably at NXT TakeOver New Orleans. So he's become champion then. And then Gargano becomes champion probably around Brooklyn time, because if you remember back, the Revival versus DIY at the NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2016. Which you can read about, my opinion, in my book, A Fan's Perspective 2016. What a year to be a fan of WWE. Cheap plug. Mm-hmm. And, so it goes back to then, and that's when he finally becomes champion. So that's how those two men become NXT champion in 2018.
Yeah, I've got one very similar. I thought DIY were going to have the best rivalry in NXT history. That's my prediction.
Yep, I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't even mind if Gargano won the title and then maybe the pass the title between him and Ciampa a couple of times over a couple of months, just to build it up.
That's something that could happen. The only thing I was thinking of my prediction was with how popular he is with the fans. Are they going to keep Johnny Gargano in NXT? And then I was looking at his age and stuff, and I was thinking, online sources and what have you, he's 30 years old. So he's just coming into that time when he needs to be on the main roster. But they have to do Ciampa versus Gargano, and I believe he has to win the NXT title, so that's why I went with it.
I'd even love it if they battled and beat the crap out of each other for months, and then they hugged, just cut it all out of the system and become best friends again. We have DIY back, so I miss them. my other one is that Ricochet, Candice LeRae, and War Machine will all become champions within a couple of months of debuting.
Why?
They know if anything's good for them, that's what they'll do. They want to get eyes on NXT, put Ricochet as the title holder. and War Machine as a tag team title holder.
Well, they did it with the Undisputed Era, didn't they? The tag titles. And there's a good chance, you know, Adam Cole will be fighting for the, you know, he could be fighting for the NXT title.
Imagine an Adam Cole Ricochet feud over the title would be amazing.
It's Adam Cole,
baby. Nick, what's your predictions?
I was going to change it, but you've just taken the one I was going to change it to. So I have to go back to my original one. My first one, both are very bold, and I can't actually see that happening. It's more wishful thinking than anything. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have fun. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, sorry, just get my notes up. So, yeah, my first one was Pete Dunne. He'll drop the NXT Championship by 2019. That could be extremely bold. It could be extremely too soon. I would just love to see it happen. I think the time could be right this year. Obviously, I don't know who's going to move up to the main roster after WrestleMania, what have you. SummerSlam seems to also be at the time when they move people up to NXT as well. NXT up to the main roster. So it's certainly not impossible, very unlikely, but I'd say it's my prediction.
I don't think it's very unlikely, Nick, to be honest. He's been in the NXT shake-up as WWE UK champion, hasn't he? So
exactly. I think once they get a clear idea what they want to do with that belt as well, that might help as well, potentially dropping it to even more young talent that's come through the UK scenes. But maybe wrestlers haven't even got into the WWE sort of side of things yet. Like, he's having a great feud at the moment on Progress of Joseph Connors. So there's obviously the talent in the UK is endless at the moment.
Do you think they're waiting on the TV show to see how well Progress Wembley show goes? To see what the real...
Well, might be that on TV, the Progress Wembley show.
WWE seeing what the response is to how well it does.
If they're waiting for then, Chris, you know, I mean, they've talked about this TV show. But then they talked about the TV show since last May, didn't they? So,
well, since your debut show, they said they're going to start doing recordings in Norwich.
Very stop start, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the sky went for the limit, obviously, with Nate and with Dunn had their amazing match back at NXT Chicago.
Yep.
Obviously, that was probably the peak of the UK. So it's hit heights in the UK scene as a whole. Was doing extremely well with ICW having the same show, Triple H rocking up there, Progress getting the biggest show in the whole UK, hitting BBC News and stories even getting. With their show at Wembley. So it certainly is the peak time in the UK, and I think they need to act soon. But like I said, the talent's endless at the moment. There's still fantastic young talent coming through.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in safe hands at the moment, so to speak, and we just need maybe the backing from like a weekly television show, which would be excellent. But Pete Dunne, I think hopefully will be at least, if not an NXT champion, will be in the mix of it all, or even just a regular on the show every week. So sort of. I know NXT are very careful like that; they don't have sort of people on the show every. They sort of chop and change it, obviously, with it being an hour show. But you know what I mean? Just a regular on the takeovers, even. And another very bold one, which.
Sorry, 1 second, Nick. Progress were doing a chapter one viewing tonight, and they were trending on Twitter.
Really? There you go. Yeah. There you go. I mean, even people aren't really into wrestling, but people who've sort of seen me and my friends go to Progress and everything, they obviously take note, obviously. The word does get around, and so it's an easy thing to say if you are kind of a half, like, that's why I got into Progress. I was a half-assed fan and wrestling as a whole. I used to go WWE here and then, but when I went to the first Progress show, I was blown away. And so I never really was a huge indie fan, not knocking it, just because I never really almost respected it, I don't think. So but when I went to my Progress show, it just sort of completely refound my love for wrestling as a whole and took it to that next level, because I was never wanted to put money to go to WrestleMania. Unless someone obviously gave me the money to go, but no, it's simply just due to Progress, obviously, and find love for wrestling again. But no, repeat that. But my second prediction for NXT is a very bold one, which probably almost certainly won't happen. But hey ho, Will Ospreay, I hope he'll be on NXT by the end of the year. I mean, we could have said this about Adam Cole, but at the start of last year, we said, oh, you know, he will never be on NXT. So it's just my prediction. He's obviously doing very well in New Japan. Maybe he's not even hit their main level yet. So maybe it's probably more likely someone like Marty Scurll or the Young Bucks will probably be in WWE before someone like Ospreay. So I think this guy is just absolutely ridiculously talented that I think WWE needs to just bite the bullet and get him in, really.
Once again, look who's been signed today. You know, in a million years, based on WWE style and stuff, did you expect Ricochet to be signed?
Well, that's true. War Machine as well.
So, yeah. If Ricochet can be signed and he had that amazing athletic match against Ospreay, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think as long as...
Was that Vader's favourite match?
Yeah, that was Vader's favourite match. And I think if he can be signed and Ospreay is I'm guessing he's under New Japan contract and stuff. Comes up, then and obviously he's adding more years of experience as it goes along. So no, if he's not tied down to a contract to 2019, you might have a shout there again. So you're saying they're far off, but I think they're pretty reasonable choices.
I'd love to just see Ospreay have a match before Orton retires as well, just for all the promos and stuff. I think it could be class. I'd just love to see Ospreay in a WWE ring.
I had one small one. I reckon we could see a 2-hour show, maybe, if they just pilot it to see how it goes. If they're bringing all these guys in, they need room to put them.
Yeah. Fair point. Is that one of your predictions, Chris?
Yeah, that was going to be one of the bonus ones I was going to add in.
It could be. I think it could work if they maybe add a bit of. If they add like the UK scene to it, and also the cruiserweight scene potentially to it. So they have almost, obviously not expected to be on there every week, but just like 1 week they might focus on like say the UK belt. Next week they might focus on say the cruiserweight belt, etc., etc. Obviously, whilst I was focusing on the NXT tag team women's and obviously the main championship as well.
I think if it isn't broke, don't fix it, lads.
There isn't
an issue with NXT. The issue in the WWE at the moment is making 205 Live the best it can be.
I think they started recording 205 Live from the university in Florida. It would help it a lot.
I think if it was taped, it's taped afterwards, isn't it?
Straight after SmackDown, so
yeah. I think if knackered. It was taped before, it would help.
Yeah.
Because obviously the fans are tired, and if you tape it before and you see all kinds of athletic matches, it's going to pump up the crowd, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is David Fuller, the owner of IHWE Texas Professional Wrestling, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
Title booking time. So Nick, you've chose the Universe title to book. So how do you see it going?
My bloody phone charger's not sticking in. Right, well, I'll have to update you when I get to 3% to go and sort this out. Right, okay, so I'm on. So obviously, as as Oliver said, the first match has been obviously the Rumble booked already. So, I've just got to stand Brock Lesnar retain the Rumble. I think Strowman will look dominant again, I hope. I think it'll be a very good match. I think it'll be one of those ones where Lesnar's holding on, sort of thing, as we've seen at like SummerSlam and what have you. I think it'll be another one of those ones where they almost build up Lesnar's hand, sort of thing. But nonetheless, I expect Brock to retain. Then obviously Raw got the Elimination Chamber. I think Brock will retain inside that against Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Braun Strowman and Kane. Obviously I don't know about the process of elimination, but I don't know who it will come down to.
Do you think it might not be a number one contendership match?
Shit, yeah, it probably will be actually.
I can't see Brock doing an Elimination Chamber. I don't want to interrupt your booking, sorry.
we'll just pretend that...
Sorry, I'll cut that out.
A bit of a stumbling point. Right, then Reigns beats Lesnar at WrestleMania, because let's face it, that's what's going to happen.
And we're all going to cheer.
No, it'll be a boo, 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 more boo. At Backlash, I think Roman Reigns will beat Samoa Joe at Backlash. Obviously, I think Backlash could be potentially like Payback last year, where it was sort of the... there was the pay-per-view where there was sort of tying up loose ends, even when the shake-ups happened.
Yeah.
So whether Joe goes to SmackDown or what have you, that might happen still. But I think Reigns will beat Joe. It'll be a match that's already locked in for Backlash, but Reigns wins. Money in the Bank, Reigns beats Baron Corbin, who's moved in the draft. Then at Battleground, Reigns beats Corbin in some sort of stipulation match. Could be a classic Reigns last man standing match. It'll be some sort of a gimmick match.
Sorry, Nick, one second. Who's your Money in the Bank?
For Raw, The Miz.
Okay.
Which moves on nicely to SummerSlam. Reigns versus Lesnar, the rematch. That's presumably Lesnar does re-sign with WWE. They have another great match. Reigns wins again at SummerSlam. However, it's such a brutal match. That's followed by a Miz cash-in. So Miz is champion at SummerSlam. At Extreme Rules, which is the following Raw pay-per-view after SummerSlam, Miz obviously Reigns gets his rematch, which the Miz wins. Could potentially be some outside. It's an Extreme Rules match, so there will be some outside interference. At TLC, there's a triple threat match between the Miz, Roman Reigns, and a returning Dean Ambrose.
Oh, brilliant! Yeah.
Because this is also a Seth has been drafted to SmackDown at this point, by the way. So yeah, Ambrose has returned, obviously fired up, because he's just fired up. He's missed a lot of action. He wants to win the top gold, but Miz beats them both at TLC. At Survivor Series, I've gone for the title not to be defended. I quite like the Raw vs SmackDown tradition of Survivor Series. I suspect, all the big guys will be involved in the 5-on-5 match.
Mm-hmm.
But however, there's the Raw's another pay-per-view after Survivor Series at this moment in time. But Miz will beat Miz will have an open challenge, or be forced to have an open challenge on a Raw December episode. It could be one around Christmas time. And it's answered by John Cena, who still hasn't, just to clarify, still has not won, still has not beaten the Ric Flair record. So obviously it's already straight away got a surprise. It's got the crowd buzzing. But the Miz wins. It could potentially be from outside interference from a new superstar to have a feud with John Cena. It could potentially be someone who's obviously on the main roster now. It could be a certain Adam Cole that's now on the main roster. It could be a certain, can't pronounce his name, the current NXT champion. Someone's got John Cena on this, and Miz wins. That's my prediction with the belt. So I think the Miz will be your Universal Champion going into 2019. Yeah.
Okay, a couple of things, Nick. Well, you don't have to worry about the Survivor Series, mate, because Joe versus Zayn is happening for the title. So a title, the main title being defended, so you can have the 5-on-5, can't you? If you go back to other Survivor Series that have happened, it's been a 5-on-5 in a title match, so no problem there. And in terms of your person who interferes to cost John Cena, are they going to do it under a mask?
Oh, we'll do it under a mask. Yeah, like, I've been on a mask. We have someone who's a mysterious person for a while, so yeah.
Exactly. We'll
under a mask. Someone randomly hates Cena.
I'd have it as somebody comes down in a CM Punk hoodie and see that mask he used to wear, but then it ends up being Adam Cole.
We'll have it as CM Punk himself.
Oh.
So speaking of CM Punk, he's my first prediction on the non-WWE part of the show. So I think CM Punk will appear at the All In show, the one that's being run by Cody and the Young Bucks. Not necessarily saying he's going to wrestle, but I think he'll appear on the show in some capacity. It's his best mate.
Good show. That'd be awesome if it happens.
Yeah, also, I did originally put I'm Daniel Bryan. I'm not sure. If he wrestles at WrestleMania, he'll stay. I reckon he'll be gone if he doesn't.
That's too much awesome for one show, Chris. Come on.
Imagine it was headlined by CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan.
Oh, man.
My second one.
The internet wrestling community would explode if that happened, wouldn't
they? Well, I watched the Royal Rumble 12 yesterday, and then CM Punk and Daniel Bryan were the first two in. And the first 20 minutes of that Rumble was brilliant, just them two. Until all the new Nexus come in and start throwing everybody out.
I'm watching 2008 and the Chris Jericho Shawn Michaels feud, and it is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, 2008 Chris Jericho is amazing. I wish I watched it live at the time, because I kind of stopped watching wrestling around that.
Now you can pick this up from the WWE Network.
Yeah,
the stuff with Batista, the nuances, it's just brilliant. It's just everything that isn't there with today's WWE, really.
Yeah, because that's when I sort of stopped watching it as well, and I still don't forget, it was one of those scenes where I still always followed WWE, I was never watching Raw, it was just literally catching up with spoilers every week. I still don't get how it went from a full-blooded HBK Batista feud to a full-blooded HBK Jericho feud.
Do you want me to explain it to you, Nick?
Well, probably not on this show, but just do it, drop me a message after.
Okay.
Right, my second non-WWE prediction is that Project Wembley show will be such a success that it will become an annual thing. Maybe like a British version of Mania. Maybe in the future ICW might co-host it with it, and then maybe the next year it might be Progress and another.
Yep.
They might bring on joint shows with other big British promotions.
Yep.
Yeah. It could be like the TWC Super Shows from back in the day, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. But in all honesty, if British wrestling companies work together, then it'd be better for everyone in that situation, really. Especially if you can get access to Wembley Arena and you can have different promotions sending their best wrestlers to fight other promotions. That'd be fantastic for the British wrestling industry.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, it is happening. When I do interview Dave Mercer, he's saying that promoters are getting together now to bring in stars, and then they'll share the costs of the hotels and the travel and stuff.
So, Riptide, Glenn, I was going to say, one of the three owners of Progress, Glenn Joseph, very nice man. Obviously, him at the Riptide shows, he's always up in the balcony, so to speak, where a lot of the wrestlers who aren't currently wrestling go, family members as well. So he's always up there. Looks like he's obviously having a beer with some of the wrestlers that obviously have been probably knows all of the wrestlers in the industry basically. as you would do if you're obviously a promoter. So he obviously gets on very well with the Riptide. I think it clearly is a thing with Progress and Riptide that Riptide get a lot of the young wrestlers who aren't quite on Progress level yet to come and wrestle on their shows. Sort of be the big deal on there, and sort of almost build them way up to be on the Progress show sort of thing. And in that token, people who obviously Riptide have even got being anywhere near Progress, if they show on Riptide, they can even get the chance to maybe go to some of the Progress pre-shows, might be even minus them on the lower card of Progress shows.
Yep. So who went first? Like I said, Nick. Well, what's your first non-WWE?
Yeah, I feel like I've gone a bit different from you guys, but I've gone for actual predictions on the shows, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I've gone for Jack Sexsmith. I reckon he'll have held the Progress Championship by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Right, a bit like The Miz. However, I think he will win it at Wembley. I've got a feeling they're going to do this. They've been doing that for quite a while now. He's getting big wins. He just had a big win at the last episode of the last Progress show on Chapter 60 on Boxing Live. He beat Joe Coffey, which is an excellent win.
Yeah.
A very good wrestler and a very good match. He's putting on good matches at Jack Sexsmith. So
he's being Sexsmith versus Banks.
Sorry?
Sexsmith versus Travis Banks.
Maybe. Well, I guess Banks has dropped the title there, so potentially towards a heel.
Yeah.
Which could make more sense, yeah. So I think Banks will drop the belt by then. I don't know, against maybe Haskins or Havoc, someone who's a heel by then. Or even potentially a returning Nathan Cruz. There's a lot of there's a lot of talent there. So the hills, even maybe Joe Connors, obviously he's been built quite strong and pretty done at the moment. So Spike Trivette, I reckon, will be, if they're going to do it, I think
time if they're going to have a, I think if they've got a two-day show coming up tight, which I suspect will be to crown their first ever champion. I've just got a feeling that the first champion for Riptide will be Spike Trivet. He's been excellent since the show started. Never even heard of him until the show started. And he's just been class. He's now getting progress shows quite often. I think he's also, he's not the most heelish bloke you can get, but he's also judged on the hill is when he's almost getting the Zach Gibson treatment, where he can't get a word in edgewise because the crowd are just trying to drown him out, booing him. So, which is a sign that you've done your job, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
In this industry, it's if you're getting that much reaction, you're clearly doing well. If you're not getting really, people are going to the piss or whatever, you're getting a drink when you're cutting a promo, clearly you're not doing a good job. But if you've got people proper like throwing ball growth in the ring or what have you, then you're clearly not liked. So therefore, you're doing your job right as a heel wrestler.
Jimmy Rave style.
Yeah, exactly. But I think he will be the. I think they'll have him as a heel champion with Jack Sexton chasing that Riptide there. But no, I think the sky's the limit for this for the Spider as well. But the weird thing is, he's a nasty guy. But then when you speak to him after, he's like one of the nicest blokes you could meet. funny old industry wrestler.
Yeah. That's Oliver.
Yeah. Have you seen the news about the Florida Millionaire?
No.
No.
Nope.
Okay. Pure silence. Okay, well, the Young Bucks have kind of reached out to him and asked him if he wants to form a wrestling promotion because he won like $261 million or something. So my really bold prediction is he becomes part of All In.
Yeah.
With his money.
So you think All In will be a promotion? Like, or
I think it'll be a promotion, and if this guy has an interest in wrestling, then I think he'll be involved in this. And then you're talking about CM Punk and Daniel Bryan and stuff. Well, there ain't going to be a price, is there? And my second non-WWE prediction is current Progress champion Travis Banks heads stateside to All Japan this year. So he's either going to be touring New Japan or he's going to be on NXT. He's going to be back in Ring of Honor. He was there earlier in his career. Or he's going to be on Impact Wrestling. So because, you know, he's obviously breaking through. I don't know if he'll go under a WWE contract. But, you know, considering like the likes of Danny Burch and stuff are in NXT but can wrestle outside, so he might still do the UK shows, but I think he'll have more of a presence, in NXT, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, and a Japanese tour. And because New Japan is the place to be in Japan, I think that's what will happen. And when Nick was talking about rekindling his love of wrestling, Progress, I have to say that New Japan's done that for me since the start of the month with Wrestle Kingdom 12. It's just watching the matches from years gone by. I've seen Nakamura versus Stars in New Japan, so Nick's got a lot to look forward to based on that match. If it's good or better, he'll really enjoy the match in New Orleans. But yeah, the Florida Millionaire gets involved in the All In promotion, and Travis Banks is in the US and Japan and possibly Mexico in 2018.
Oh, that'd be amazing. So before I do my US title predictions, should we plug some of the interviews that we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks? So I'll be interviewing the promoter of Ultimate Wrestling Impact, Jonathan Harrison, about his shows at the end of their debut show is at the end of February, and it's headlined by Magnus versus Bram for the NWA World Championship. And also on that show, they're going to have a War Games match. It's going to be amazing. then we've got the leader of the Billy Club, Billy Norton. He's coming on to promote the Wrestle Island show on the 11th of February. And then we've got two of the Britain's fastest rising stars from fourth generation wrestling, JJ Barker and Joe Nelson. So Joe Nelson's the youngest professional wrestler in Britain, and he's the current Airborne champion for 4th Gen Wrestling, so really exciting times. So it's nice that we're going for not just established stars, that we're going to be getting some of the rising stars of the British scene on.
The best thing to do is that, Chris, really. I mean, when I started interviewing back in 2006, you can't kind of start with the big stars. You have to, you know, make a name for yourself, and the fact that people want us, in particular yourself, to interview them is a great sign for Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast.
This is David Fuller, the owner of IHWE Texas Professional Wrestling, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
All right, so we'll move on to my booking of the US title.
Sorry, one second, Chris. Something's just come to me.
Okay.
Do you or Nick know of any promotion or any in any like British wrestling history where there's been a 60-minute match or a 60-minute Ironman match?
No,
not really.
I was just thinking this while we were talking.
If they're going to do it, it would be a good time to do it now. We could do like Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne.
Yeah, you could build up to it, couldn't you? You could have like 2 out of 3 falls and stuff.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, no, it just got me thinking. I can't think. It's never happened when I was reporting on British wrestling. And I can't think of any time I've ever seen a result that said this match went 60 minutes or somebody won 1-0 or 5-4 in a 60-minute Ironman match. So, yeah, it'd be interesting if a promotion and a couple of wrestlers could keep a crowd's attention in British wrestling for 60 minutes. So that's my challenge to any British wrestlers out there. 60-minute Ironman match. Not with me, but, you know.
Right, so we move on to my booking. So I chose the US title. So at Royal Rumble, Bobby Roode is going to beat Jinder Mahal in the final of the US title tournament.
Glorious.
Then between Rumble and Fastlane, the feud between Roode and Mahal will continue. Mahal will get a few iffy victories with the help of the Singh brothers, etc., which will lead to a cage match between the two. Roode will escape the cage and then beat the crap out of the Singh brothers for good measure, because it'll be funny. And whilst he's celebrating with the title on the ramp, and then a hooded figure will appear, beat him up, and it'll be revealed to be Dolph Ziggler, and he'll hold the title aloft and claim that he's the true US Championship. So in the lead up to Mania, Ziggler will keep hold of the US title, and he'll win matches against lower card wrestlers like Sin Cara and Victor from the Ascension. It'll be big. And we won't see Roode on TV for a while. And then on the go-home show to Mania, Roode will come out to confront Ziggler. And in an in-ring statement, he'll challenge Dolph to a ladder match at Mania. And it'll be an epic ladder match between the two. Both guys will come out bloody messes, but Roode will retain his championship and he'll be the true US champion. Right. Then after Mania, they'll do a draft. Cedric Alexander, Elias, and Aleister Black will come to SmackDown. And then at Payback, after Mania, Ziggler will move on to a feud of Black, and Roode will move on to a feud of Elias. Cedric Alexander will just be winning awesome matches every week for now. Then at Money in the Bank, Roode will beat Elias and Ziggler in a triple threat match. Following the match, Elias and Ziggler will beat down Roode, and Black will make the save. In the 2 weeks between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam, most weeks will be a combination of Roode, Black, Ziggler and Elias in either tag matches or single matches between the two of them. But during these 2 months, Alexander will get victories over Ziggler and Elias. Right, at SummerSlam, Roode, Black, Elias and Ziggler will have an awesome Fatal 4-Way, which will be won by Elias. Earlier in the show, Alexander will win a six-pack challenge to become the number one contender for the US title at Hell in a Cell. After this match, Roode moves on to the US title scene. Ziggler can leave the company if he wants. He's gone out after one last hurrah. Black will move into feuds with like Mahal, Rusev, Aiden English, destroying upper mid-card heels every week for now. Then at Hell in a Cell, Elias loses the title to a lumbar check, and Alexander is the new champion.
Wants to walk with Elias?
Then at Survivor Series, Alexander defends and wins against the IC champion. Rude and Black are the sole survivors for the SmackDown team. Black will get the winning pin against the Raw team. And then Shane McMahon will name Rude as the number one contender for the world title, or the WWE title, and the Black as the number one contender for the US title. And then Clash of Champions, we have Cedric Alexander versus Aleister Black. And I can't decide who wins.
I just want to say at this point that Shane McMahon never cleared that with me.
Yeah, that'd be a brilliant match. I'd have Aleister Black winning at the end because he's my favourite wrestler. But I think by doing it this way, you've created a decent upper mid card on SmackDown. You've elevated Alexander Black, Elias. Ziggler's had a good hurrah. Rude has got into the world title scene.
It's really good detail, Chris. I admire that, and I love the fact that we all added in a draft to our title. Our championship booking and stuff.
So to finish the show, we're going to predict who is going to be each champion, who's going to hold each championship on the 1st of January 2019. So in a year, we can look back at this and laugh at each other, at our terrible guesses. Should we go Nick first? Who do you think is going to be WWE champion on the first day of 2019?
Well, champions on New Year's Day 2019, the WWE champion will be Bobby Roode.
Ooh, cool.
Because it's glorious.
We'll go one by one. So,
Oliver, that's a good idea, Chris.
Oliver, who do you think is going to be WWE?
Sami Zayn.
Ooh, I've gone for Kevin Owens. It's about Nick, Universal?
Miz.
Oliver?
Kevin Owens after he's drafted to Raw from SmackDown Live.
I've gone with Braun Strowman. I think he might win it. I reckon he'll win it from Reigns at SummerSlam in my head.
You're both doomed.
Intercontinental Champion, Nick?
I've gone for Cedric Alexander.
Oliver?
I've got Zack Ryder after he moves from SmackDown Live to Raw and turns into a villain.
I've gone for Jeff Hardy. US champion, Nick?
Ty Dillinger.
Ooh, Ty Dillinger jumped out of my head. He could have done something in my story.
He needs to do something, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's a real shame that he's not being used correctly.
Yeah, Oliver, who have you gone for? US?
I've got Pete Dunne.
I've gone for Aleister Black. Have we even picked one the same yet?
Like when Nick earlier was saying about Pete Dunne, I was like, you know, the way he wrestles, the style, I think he would be perfect as the US champion.
They brought up a heel British Strong Style as a faction, I think that'd be amazing.
Well, I just think the fact that, you know, if he just came out and he was just British and he, you know, said he hated the Americans and that kind of thing, I think it would be a really cool run for him as a villain, to be honest, and obviously you can back it up with the in-ring talent, so yeah, perfect US champion.
Right, Nick, Raw Tag Team Champions?
Raw Tag Team Champions?
Yep.
The Revival.
Oh, they jumped out of my head as well, for all of them. Right, Oliver?
I've gone for Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher.
Ooh, that's a bit up there.
Because I want to make 205 Live
great
more
again.
Important.
Let's make it great again.
Yeah.
I've gone for
what you did there, Chris.
Because it's never been great, and nor was Darren Young.
Oh, Darren Young was great.
He's never great.
I don't want to hear about Darren Young.
I've gone for the Authors of Pain. They're going to be. Huh? Right, SmackDown Tag Team Champion?
Funny enough, I've gone for the Authors of Pain.
Are they ever going to be revealed as Breezango's attackers?
That's the Bludgeon Brothers.
I know, it should have been the Authors of Pain, they shouldn't have, lads.
No, it should have been British Strong Style.
Yeah, Oliver?
Yeah, SmackDown. Good show. I've got the Revival after they move from Raw to SmackDown Live?
I've gone for the Bludgeon Brothers.
Have we gone from one each and every belt so far?
Yeah, we haven't done the same. So we might do on these next couple.
I was going to say, look at the next one.
Cruiserweight?
I've gone for Jack Gallagher.
Oliver?
I've gone for the guy who's trying to make it great again. Drew Gulak?
Ooh, I love Drew Gulak.
Yeah, I like Gulak.
I've gone for Leo Rush.
Good show.
Right, we all going to have the same one on this one, Raw Women's Champion. Nick?
Oscar.
Yeah, Nick, all of it.
I've got Nia Jax.
I've gone for Oscar as well.
So. I think she'll win it and just won't lose it for a long, long time.
Mm, but, SmackDown Women's?
I've gone for Charlotte Flair.
All of it.
Peyton Royce after she moves from NXT to SmackDown Live, and they might do like a lay cool thing where Royce or Kay can defend it as and when.
Yeah, I've gone for Charlotte. It's NXT champion, Nick.
Do that, but I'll go for Pete Dunne.
So Pete Dunne's got that. Yeah, Oliver?
Johnny Gargano.
I've gone for Derek Bateman, because there's rumours that EC3 is going to join NXT.
I've heard that.
I don't think he's going to be NXT champion with that name.
Derek Bateman?
Mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre, he came back and won it.
I think he will come back under a different name, maybe.
No, I reckon he'll come back as Derek Bateman. It's NXT Tag Team Champions. For these last two.
I'll go for War Machine.
Oliver?
Mustache Mountain.
I've gone for War Machine as well. And then NXT Women's Champion.
I reckon Candice LeRae.
Yep. Oliver?
Shayna Baszler.
Ooh, I've gone for Carrie Sane. Yeah, Ember Moon's going to move up sooner or later. Right, so that's our predictions for 2018.
One more title, Chris.
Have
I? WWE UK.
Oh, okay. Didn't even think of that. Nick? Sure.
I didn't think of that as well, but on the spot, I'll go for Travis Banks.
All of it.
You suck, Nick. Travis Banks as well.
So you've both gone for a New Zealander to be the British champion.
Yeah. And if he was to turn into a villain, you could say that New Zealand's better than both England and America.
Even though they're rubbish at cricket.
Well, he won't mention
I'll
that.
I'll go for... I don't know, Tyler Bate. Okay, I can't think of anyone. I don't know, I had Wolfgang in my head because they seem to like him. But
the one time when you need to do your research, Chris...
It's just on my list. I didn't think to put that on. But yeah. So that's our predictions for 2018. So if you like our show, head over to Twitter and follow us. It's at BBGWPod. And if you want to send us any questions or suggestions for topics for us to talk about in the future, email them to BBGWPod@gmail.com. So thanks for listening. Check out our interviews over the next couple of weeks. And we'll see you for the review of the Royal Rumble, which should be interesting. We'll have to figure out a way of reviewing Royal Rumbles, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how we're going to do it. I'm sure we're not going to sit there and go, then this person came in, and then this person came in. And then this person
we won't touch on Blakeney when someone like Kurt Hawkins coming out.
Should we do one more prediction? Did you think there's rumour that the Women's Rumble might headline the show?
I reckon it will, and I can understand doing it. I wouldn't be a fan, but at least it's a Royal Rumble match. I'd rather do the Women's Rumble at the show than a...
The thinking is there's going to be 13 surprises in the Women's Rumble. So
yeah.
There's going to be a lot more surprises. I think all of them that are going to be on Raw this week, on the Raw 25th show, probably already all declare entry in it.
And then...
I think I can do 17...
There'll be quite a few from the NXT that even if they don't go to the main roster, they can just still enter the Royal Rumble, and that makes sense, because you see that in the men's one, there's usually an NXT dude that's come, like last year, Tyler did it earlier before, I think Rusev's done it, but they haven't actually gone straight to the main roster, they just dipped around in the Rumble, then they've just gone back to NXT for a bit, and then they debut further on down the line, so...
And with Emma Freeman Reigns, I don't think they want to finish the show on booze. So.
Yeah, a women's match isn't the worst way to win. I'd say I'd rather it be a women's. I'd rather the women's rumble than say
end it
on like.
I'd prefer the women's rumble to open the show.
Oh, yeah, that's what I should.
Then we'd be buzzing. So.
The only thing you can say is it's history making, and no one's going to boo the men's Royal Rumble because Shinsuke and Nakamura is going to win it.
No, I know.
Well, that's what I'm, yeah, I mean, I said I'd like it to open the showman's match and then have the men's close. But like I said, I'm not a fan when they do WWE title close to the show.
Yeah. Right. But in all honesty, when it was Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins Hell in the Cell, and it was Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Hell in the Cell, the ladies absolutely stole the show, didn't they? So just give them the opportunity, and if they knock it out of the park, fantastic, and if they don't, they've given them the opportunity, haven't they?
Yeah.
At least it's a Royal Rumble closing the show.
Exactly.
Just have to keep reiterating that.
Good night.